This is Black, aka Lord Black.
Hold up, ladies and gentlemen. Black, not to cut you off, but I'm one of the greatest ninjas of all time. I go by the name of Starman, aka Prince Yuki, aka Tamaki Black. And today I am joined here with one of the greatest ninjas to ever do it as well. He goes by the name of Macchio, Macchio Metal, aka the one and only Tanuki, aka Silver Surfer of the Platinum Variety. Ice. Now, we got a special treat for y'all today. Nah, don't mind this anime music in the background. It comes from the Big Old soundtrack. Shout out. We're going to give y'all Tales from the TARDIS. Now, when I, Tamaki Black, aka Starman, sit down and I give you my 11th Doctor Takes, and my boy Macchio Metal sits down and give you his 10th Doctor Takes, we meet in the middle of the TARDIS and we have a cup of tea, whiskey, vodka, beer, whatever we like to do. You know how we get down and do it. And we finna give y'all a great show today. So with that in mind, y'all sit back, y'all relax, and y'all enjoy it, because this is a special edition of the Ninja Please Podcast.
You are listening to the Ninja Please Podcast.
This is Celeste, aka Scarlet, aka me, and you are listening to the Ninja Please Podcast.
Yeah, when you talked about it last week, I got really curious because I was like, okay, I've never played like a dating sim type game before, and I always wanted to. Like I said, a Steins Gate friend of mine, he had that, and the Fate Stay games, and I never played those. A lot of those didn't even make it over to America,
right?
And you know, some of the ones that did, when they tried to do horror, or cute, or etchy, or anything that was like, you know, in that realm of, all right, let's try to. There was no demographic, a way to market or really get those people out. So I guess it took someone making a game like this and just saying, "Nah, man, we finna get these elements and throw them in."
Right.
Because, like, what it is,
Yandere Simulator?
Yeah, Yandere Simulator, like, it never got picked up by anyone major to say, we're going to make this a big game. And
problem with Yandere Simulator is it's being made by one guy. And the game got stolen from him. And then he had to go through this whole process of getting the game back. And now he's developing it again. Like last year, I think ever since 2018, somebody had stolen Yandere Simulator from him. So he wasn't really updating the game as much as he should have.
And that's terrible.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that happened to him.
Yeah, because I mean, that's a great idea for a game, and then for somebody to wait for you to do all the hard work, then they just come in and take it.
Yeah, I don't know what I thought by the time that went viral, someone would have came, and maybe someone tried to lowball him for offers. Someone offered him a measly, you know.
Wasn't even that. He actually addressed it and talked about it. Now he has a team of people helping him work on the game. He was doing all the writing, programming, developing, playtesting. And then he would give out small, like, press copies to certain people to play on YouTube or whatever to review it and give their insights into, like, what mechanics he should work on. For the longest time, it was just him doing all the story writing, all the character development for each character in the game, programming them into the game. All that shit was just him. Now he's got, like, a 10-person team.
Hey, that's something. Congrats to him. Well, I don't know. Since I didn't get a chance to play that, only see it online through YouTube when you showed me the trailer last week.
It's available on Steam for you guys if y'all want to play it.
Yeah, I saw it and it was like, oh, it's coming to major consoles on Tuesday. And I'm like, okay. Then I looked at it and it was like, oh, no, bro. It's a $15 game, bro. This shit's not even $50, bro. It's
right.
Barely $20. Like, I'm like, shit. Oh, gosh.
This is an experience to be had.
And I was like, all right, I'll give it a try.
Right. You got 5 Literature Club waifus to choose from. Who you gonna pick?
I was like, because, you know, I love that type of, that anime genre anyway. The whole club, in the club, little drama. But yeah. then, you know, you got darker elements. Like, people hate on shit like School Days, but I'm like, no, man.
So good, man.
School Days was good, bro. It's not much like it, bro. It's
so good.
And maybe I feel like that's an anime that deserves to be redone in 2021. I feel like a lot of things people had an issue with, they could redo it.
Yeah.
Give it a nice, you know, get a nice touch up, get a facelift.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if you did that, you get a nice, cool game. So,
I'm
anxious for that one.
It's like if they redo a Corpse Party, that would make a real good next gen consoles horror graphic novel type game. Because last time we had a Corpse Party was on PSP, I think.
I forgot.
I think on the Vita.
I watched the anime and it was just like, damn, that's right. This shit was a game.
Mm-hmm.
Man,
like a couple different games.
Oh well, since we on these games, real quick. Last week we all saw the trailer.
Yeah,
and the internet was able to buzz about the trailer, which is, I guess, good that we didn't touch on it too much. Toonami dropped the official trailer for the Junji Ito series coming out. Uzumaki, and
ooh, boy,
a lot of people were thrown off by the fact that. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, he finally figured it out. He was like, you know what? This is the only one I remember him being so proud of. The other ones, kind of like he made a buck and he wasn't ashamed of it. But this one is like,
he really liked his short stories more than he liked his longer narratives. Junji Ito likes his shorter stories in his collection better than he likes those longer overarching titles that he's done.
So he finally gave in to giving the people what they've been asking for.
Mm-hmm.
But him, I mean,
you had Geo, it did okay. The live action version wasn't that great. The live action version of Uzumaki, I still like it because it left a whole bunch of Easter eggs from different stories in it. You saw Tomoe in there, you saw the snail boy in there. Like, you saw a whole bunch of different other characters from other, I guess you would call it, in the Itoverse or whatever.
It's black and white, bro. This defies everything about anime since Astro Boy, bro. Like, it's it's manga style black and coloring.
White. Yeah. Full black and white, no color anywhere.
And it's like, yeah, bro. Like, in order to pull you in the story, after watching Shadow's House, I know that they have the technology to really give atmospheric detail that draws out a show. Because over the seasons, I'm almost done with the anime for the spring season. And Shadow's House has been one of my favorite visual. I think it's the, I ain't made my decision, but I think visually it might be the best looking show of the season. Just based on background art and detail. Like,
says a lot.
Yeah, you see, man, you know, you see so many, you know, anime, you pretty much get to the point where you need something special about it, because
I'm trying to think. Yeah, most of the other ones, they either stock or, you know, it's got a background, but they don't really put that much into it.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Like, hey, keep the background in focus. That's all we need.
But it's like with the character and stuff, because it's a big favorite of the internet. A lot of women are really into Don't Toy With Me, Miss Nagatoro. I didn't realize how popular it really was. Yeah. I knew it was popular. Then I read, it's like, no, you don't understand, bro. Like, Uzaki-chan and this shit is like, no, bro. These
are digging this shit.
These shits are really popular. If you go on certain sections of, you know, TikTok or Instagram, you will see that shit
voiceovers.
Pop up.
Yeah.
You will see that. Right. And I kept running into them.
Mm-hmm.
Algorithms got me. So they started feeding them to me, and I started seeing them, and I'm like, I'm starting seeing the art, how people like this, and the cosplays and the stuff. And it's just like, yeah, bro, you got a tan. You got a tan anime girl that people like. That's not
that's
turning into
shit.
That's not turning into a cat half the damn time.
Right, and then she's actually fucking with the dude. Like, it's on some Toradora shit to another level. Like, if you like a tough girl that's soft, you like Toradora, and then you got Uzaki-chan, and you got this girl who wants to hang out with you. Starts off annoying, but she's not really annoying.
She's not a tsundere. I'm trying to think, what category is she in?
She would be a tsundere because she starts off not liking him. She bullies him, and then she develops feelings for him. He would be a, like Tiger. She's a tsundere. like cacti. Prickly on the outside, then they are soft on the inside.
Hmm.
Yandere's are, they look non-menacing on the outside, but they have a totally manic personality on the inside. They're not necessarily always psycho. They just have some total opposite end personality behind the one on the front.
See, all right. Tiger is definitely, you know, I don't like you. Fuck you. Leave me the fuck alone. It's nothing warm there. There's nothing behind it. There's no enjoyment. It's really like you getting on my nerves, but I'm stuck with you. And I'm going to open up and soften up because
I'm stuck. Like you said, I'm stuck with you. So,
yo, we got a situation going on and you're not that bad of a person. Actually, you're a really good person. Actually, you remind me how shit of a person I am, and I'm mad at you for it.
Right, because I'm kind of mad at myself. But
you don't see that side of me, and it makes me fall for you even more.
Right.
Nakatoro, I had to look at it because I never looked at her as a tsundere. They apparently, her archetype is a sadodere. Sadodere. A Japanese character.
Sadodere, yeah.
Yeah, an archetype that involves sadism.
Yeah, she does get enjoyment out of poking fun at him.
And I'm like, yeah, that sums it up. Like, this shit was just me teasing him because he's so soft and, you know, I ain't got nothing else to do. And only reason she stayed is because her friends was like, oh, since you gonna pick on him, we gonna do it too. And she was like, No. Got territorial. That's mine. Right. Don't do it. Then her friends are like, oh, do you really like this guy? No.
To explore her feelings, like, no, I don't.
Well, do I?
Maybe I do.
Yeah, and the whole time, you know, everyone's around is like,
you like him.
Like, yeah, and she's like trying to deny it, and he hasn't admitted it yet, you know, has to get to the point where he admits it to himself and then her. You know, that's the whole point.
We've seen it, but
the shtick in between where we're going to get that close, and whenever a moment happens, a lot of the torture she gets is up coming on herself. She'll do something to him, and sometimes it backfires.
Right. I mean, you set yourself up for it. You thought that you were going to get him with this little practical joke.
Yep.
Now it's on you.
So that's, like I said, but I like that dynamic, and I know it's a really popular dynamic right now because you don't see that character. You've seen the mean girl get nice a million times at this point.
Yeah.
So at this point, having another element, and I think people
The one that does genuinely like to poke fun at the other person, she's the side character. She's never really the main one in the romantic storyline.
That's true.
She's the side character who's like, she likes the guy also, but then eventually she just becomes the ultimate best friend, and then the two main characters do fall in love.
The devotees, the girl who,
yeah,
the girls who are rivals over him, and it's not even about the relationship with him. It's about she can't win.
Right.
So, you know what? I have to go harder because she can't win.
Right.
And ultimately, the guy being such a good guy, he chooses no one.
Right. He's like, but I love both of you so much as my best friends. I can't
make it. Spoiler alert. In school days,
man,
he chooses everybody.
He's going to make a pick, and it's everyone. Man gets to go home with all his pockets full.
Nah, it's an enemy by the fuck boy. You know, they go out of their way. Boy, they go out of their... They'll make a main character a pervert. They'll make him an idiot. They'll make him aloof.
They combine all these shits.
They'll do all that. They'll make him a gangster, badass, soft. They love the strong, silent type, right?
Oh, yeah.
You get Shishomaru all day. But what you don't get...
It's so popular.
You don't get the fuckboy. If you do, it's never the main character. Like, Moroku was a fuckboy.
That one... What was the one anime with...
It wasn't, but...
He was always trying to fuck everybody in his harem. And he was getting them.
I don't know.
He was like, well, I guess I gotta go to bed with both of you guys.
Oh, Peter Grill.
Yeah.
Peter Grill. But see, Peter Grill... Right. Peter Grill is... It defies that whole genre because you get, like, the strongest man in the world, and these women are attracted to him because he's strong and they want to mate with him. And he has this love of his life, his fiance, that he can't stay committed to because
he's got fuckboy tendencies.
Yeah, it's just like
chicks.
Yeah, he just can't say no.
Yeah,
he just can't say no for whatever reason. So you get that dynamic. Like, a Sato that would be your boy. The healer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know that. And then the fucked up part about it is he wasn't that way to begin with. He was made that way by his environment. So
consequences.
Yeah, what if he wasn't like that? What do you think he would have been if he chose not to go this 500 fucking percent revenge route? Like, what do you think he would have been like if he would have chose to reset the world and, you know, like I say, not go to 500%?
Sailor Moon and watching shit like, you know, about time travel leads me to really believe in other lives. I can't not look at this shit like a parallel universe. Yeah. I can never not look at it that way.
Okay.
So with that in mind, I feel like that evil in that context is going to always exist.
It's going to manifest some way in him.
Some way around him. Because he was a product of circumstance. So I feel like destiny-wise, you're going to fuck. Like, you have this power and it's going to come out either because the kingdom and your whole country is corrupt and you got to take them down. If imagine if he doesn't take them down and just goes on his own life, nothing ever really changes.
No, I don't mean he doesn't seek his revenge. I mean he just don't seek it in the way he's doing it. Like I say 500% revenge, like to the utmost. Like this.
Oh, okay. If it wasn't just so sadistic and masochistic. Oh, man, nah, bro. The fact that
he was still gonna get his revenge, but just not like this.
I mean, he's the absolute worst, bro. It's disgustingly bad character. It's like you can't even say out loud. You're not even supposed to root for that character. That's what makes the whole shit so taboo, because it's the dirtiest plot device that can be used, and it's really gross. Like, the whole concept is sick.
Yeah, the writer of SAO had to leave that whole plot device alone, period.
They tapped on it, but like I said, that's I like consequences. So I'm gonna circle back to consequences. What I mean by that had consequences, but extreme. They used a very nasty trope that made it so, the shock value was level 10. Like, honestly, the shock value of how y'all gonna top the last episode, cause I ain't never seen no shit like that. And they keep, okay, well, since you ain't never seen nothing like that, we just gonna keep showing you that, but change certain elements every time, but give pretty much the same thing. I'm gonna go in here and do this.
Yeah.
But it's consequences. I ultimately discover consequences is Shield Hero. I gotta circle Shield Hero, and I hate to give people a Shield Hero spoiler. So I'm gonna try my best not to. At the end of the show, consequences come up, but the way the consequences that go down is not. I wasn't satisfied with the accountability that was given out at the end of the show. Full Metal Alchemist. I don't want to spoil that for people who haven't seen it. Go watch it. But there was always accountability. The entire name of the show was Equal Our Version Equivalent Exchange.
Yeah,
everybody got to be accountable.
The urgency.
You cut a corner, shit gets bad.
The urgency within every story.
Karma.
Yeah, there was something there that made you feel like, okay, if this goes south, this is going to be real fucked up.
Real fucked up.
Yeah, like you could. I agree with that. Within every element of those shows, there was something in each of those situations where it's like.
Consequences.
Yeah, if this don't go right, this is fucking everybody up.
Like, and a lot of times they'll shy away from the accountability. They'll shy away from the actual consequence.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it'll go to a lighter note. Like, see, Dragon Ball is good. I gotta go back to that because
they'll turn the bad guy.
The whole Dragon Balls is we can wish people back to life. There are no real consequences, bro. We will find a way. But Trunks the only person that faced consequences somehow, some way.
Yeah. And they even made those consequences non-canonical just to be safe.
He's the only one who had true consequences. So in all of anime, when it comes to the mainstream idea of someone having a consequence, being accountable for something, I think that can take a decent story and really open it up at the end and make it something.
Oh yeah,
truly good. But
even with Death Note, is like, high octane as that show was.
Consequence.
Yeah, Light had no real consequences at the end because he still. Alright, spoiler alert for y'all guys, if y'all hadn't seen this, I'm not gonna say how, but he still died at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, it was more of seeing his failure play out more so than the consequences of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because as much as you wanted him to win, you just knew at the end somehow he was gonna lose. It was just how.
Yeah, it's the greatest shows, there's always a consequence. Speaking of consequence, all right, I saw Rurouni Kenshin, you know, from the anime.
Final movie or?
The final movie.
Okay.
Just saw the final movie to wrap up this anime talk. We done went. We got all these different types, archetypes, different stuff in there.
Man.
Anyway, most anime, I guess my whole point, all of that is encompassed and everyone gets a certain type of character. And in this movie, I felt like they didn't shy away from trying to bring the true way they act in comic. They had to go a meta extreme with it. Because I felt like if the movie felt more like a play.
Yeah, than an adaptation of an animated series.
It's like someone made it a play. Like, this is going to be on stage. How can we make this manga be... I mean, how can we make this anime a stage play? And then let's just film the stage play.
Right, and we just film it in a real setting instead of on sets.
What they did with the lights in certain scenes instead of... These, you know they got the lights in front, but the way they lit certain scenes where it was still dark, because it's like, no, motherfucker, we got candles. And
right, and then we go have to have very low source light to give you this semblance of a candle.
But if
you can't just light a candle and a person with a camera, it don't come up that way.
But since anime relies so heavily on facial expressions and body language, you really have to see that in high definition to really
appreciate,
get the subtleness of like the discomfort and people, you know,
really communicating without the nonverbal communication.
Yeah you got a lot of that. That was my favorite thing. I love the shots
and the fighting.
Okay,
the choreography of the fight,
the choreography,
so realistic.
And bro, the choreography in this fight scenes in Kenshin is top notch. Like everything they do with the wire, the way they nail how he runs,
yes,
how he moves,
yes,
how he steps.
It's like the frames that you see in your mind when you're watching it, they're able to recreate it. Like whoever were the fight choreographers for these, I gotta look them up so we can go back and talk about just fight choreography.
The camera and adaptations.
Bro, I'm saying. Oh, and I gotta remind me to talk about Iron Fist after we get done with this conversation.
Okay.
Because it ties in with fight choreography.
Gotcha.
I found out something from one of these stunt people. Yes, but the way that they were able to get inside of the head of the Kenshin fan or any fan of traditional samurai anime or Bushido anime, like, you know that there are certain elements that can be animated that a person can't do. But the way that they reinterpret it to make it look realistic enough, and like you say, the wire work, it's not crazy, oh, I'm gonna do five flips over you and slice you in half. Like, no, when he does a certain move that's supposed to have an amount of power to it, they yank the person just enough to make it look like, okay, he's stronger than the average human.
Yep.
That's how they would react. This is what would happen. They don't make it look over the top.
They don't. They
I have to agree.
I mean, because in certain ways, like the acting,
even these supernatural characters he's got to fight. This dude that basically controlled fire and shit.
That was okay. What I will say, costumes. I want to talk about the costumes.
Yes.
I feel like they did a great job on costumes.
Yes.
From the wigs that you knew were clearly fucking wigs,
they still look great.
They look great.
That's the perfect cosplay.
That's the right.
Yeah.
It's like they nail that. I'm looking at it like how they look, and then it's like, no, how can we move in what we got? But it was Kenshin. But this was a 2-hour, 20-minute movie.
Yeah.
What I will say, All right. At this point, I didn't give a lot of praise, and I'm gonna give more. But this is one thing that Saito is one of my favorite characters. Shinshin Gumi officer, who's pretty much one of Kenshin's equals. Now he's a police officer, and he got to keep
respects.
He got to keep everything straight for the new era, because he, you know what I'm saying? He fought.
Yeah, he fought in the old regime and understands
for the shogunate.
Yeah, and in order to move forward,
he lost
this avenue. Yeah,
lost. But now he's a police officer.
But he's still a rebel, though.
Right, in the sense of he don't want to see the system corrupt.
Right,
but
gonna work down the path.
You know. They could have round up all the samurai and killed us. They actually did it to a lot of them, I'm sure. He made it out, and it's like, oh yeah, all right, alright, cool. We're alive. Alright, we're done. The war's over. Kenshin was my enemy. You're not my enemy now. I low-key respect you, but at the same time,
I gotta try to arrest you if you come across my shit.
they didn't give me none of that with Saito. I got a dude that smoked, bro. He just chain smoked. He never finished that fucking cigarette, bro. I think I saw him light it once, bro. Dog, that cigarette was at the same point every time he smoked it. He ain't never have a shot. He ain't never just strike one when he got there because shit got real. He just... He walked in with that bitch.
The infinite cigarette.
Took a puff, blow it out, talk, you know. And I'm just like, dog, like,
when you gonna draw down on somebody?
Like, for real.
The technique,
bro. Even when in the technique, they didn't show me his technique. No. They didn't give me the scene. No. The room's dark, the thunder's going on, and then a flash of a lightning.
Fang technique or whatever you used to call it.
He just come. They didn't.
That was the one. Yeah, I have to agree.
When old buddy. All right, we're finna give y'all big Kenshin spoilers.
Yes.
When Kenshin's brother-in-law kills all these cops. This nigga just sitting here chilling, like, watching. He just sitting here watching the shit, like, okay. So when the dude came to him, no, I ain't finna fight. You can capture me. He's like, what?
But I want you to...
You playing with me?
Nah, this is the one fight I was hoping I was gonna see. Like, okay, he's gotta fight him. He got to fight him. No.
Bro, that killed all the morale on the force. I can't see everybody get killed, survive it, and then just to see my captain, Denny.
Right, it's like, nah, I'm not even going. Nah, you can, like, take
him. Let y'all capture him.
Right, at this point.
I'd have quit that day.
Right, because he's got some other plans that I'm definitely not a part of, because I could have been one of them guys over there. Like, no. Nah.
But Kenshin was... It's ultimately that secret you're holding on. I feel like they gave me... They tried to give me Samurai X and Rurouni Kenshin, and both of them shows had a different dynamic. One show was
about Batosa the
Manslayer. It was a drama. Yes. It was a romantic tragedy. Yes. That's what it was. It was a romantic tragedy.
Two lovers and the internal battle of this motherfucker who heals people mercilessly.
There was nothing happy about it.
Mm-mm.
But we saw him in how he was before.
Mm-hmm.
Rurouni Kenshin.
Right.
Rurouni Kenshin was 30 now. He's in his 30s. He's done with that. It's been over with. He's still learning new tricks, but he's trying to not get rusty.
Right. He just wants to still be on point.
Everybody's
out here slicing people no more.
Everybody around him just needs him, and
I don't do that anymore.
And everybody's trying to get stronger, and it's happy at times, it's sad at times, but it's a family. They gave us all these shoujo dynamics, and they still gave us the action.
Yeah.
If I had to pick out a particular beef, Kenshin was the only person that got love, because dog, like, they fucked my boy Sanosuke up so bad.
Oh yeah, man, we not even going.
No, bro, we got to, bro. That to me, them doing him like that, dog. This shit could have been a straight out 10, but
it makes it an 8 for me, because Sanosuke's plight was like majority of what made Kenshin so good.
Bro, he was that dude who with no sword. He had a sword at the beginning, but end up being with no sword.
Yeah.
It'll be a threat that Kenshin is going to go and deal with, but instead, you need to be here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go here.
Right.
They gave us the opportunity to show us what Sanosuke can do, and they glossed over his whole fight.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
this man learned an awesome-ass technique adventure. Like,
and we don't...
The Futenoki Wame, dog. Like, we don't get none of that shit,
we don't got
bro.
Nothing. And then the next fight happens... Or the real fight.
Yeah.
He gets washed.
And this is not this man. Like, yeah,
he don't get whooped, but bro, this ain't Yamcha, bro. Yeah, he exactly. is not Yamcha.
He's not like one smack and he's out of here, dog.
He's not Krillin. He's not Yamcha.
No.
Like, he's not even Tien, bro. He's himself. Like, bro, he end up getting respect from Saito because he's like, you know what?
I respect you, dog.
I gotta respect you. You done came a long way. He got his ass beat in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then when he got busted up, it was Kenshin that busted him up.
Yeah, but that was to teach him. Like, look, man, if he didn't keep fighting him, he wouldn't have got busted that way. He told him, like, you need to stop fighting me.
And then he goes on to get just as strong in his own way.
Mm-hmm.
I just hated the fact that
techniques from that damn warrior monk.
They didn't have to wash him like that, bro.
Mm-mm.
He got his ass beat. That was the scene. Kenshin going to get the little letter.
Yeah.
His boy dead. Boy late. Look damn near dead. Blood out his mouth.
What happened to this man?
Don't try to sell me this whole he never gave up, because even when he got down, he got it to protect Miss Kaoru. And I was like, no, bro, he just used his body to be a shield, bro. No, he was offense. He wasn't just, I'm a sacrificial defense, bro. This man could fight. He had hands. They took this man's hands,
bro. That
was
his whole thing, though. He got rid of that giant sword because he realized he didn't need it.
That Captain Hook shot it, bro. They took his hands, man.
Like, they Captain Hook.
They Anakin Skywalker, my boy. Bro. They Anakin, my boy. They took his hands, bro.
Damn,
cuz. He ain't throw no hands,
none.
Bro.
None. Every time you saw him, he was getting thrapped.
Getting thrapped.
And it was, man.
Dog, and it was the other boy.
Sanosuke.
Like,
what was the kid's name?
What was his name? He don't ever do shit.
Yeah, he never did. But he had his uses. He did. Had that little technique that he learned.
I mean, he studied Lady,
Kaoru's.
Kaoru's, you know what I'm saying? He studied hers, like, her technique.
Mm-hmm.
And he got pretty good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he got pretty good at, like, her technique. And that is something that, you know, I was like, okay, yeah. But, yeah, man. I don't know, man. Some people didn't get their just desserts. Who else? Trying to find them. Let me see. I like Tomoe. Tomoe was cool. They captured her good.
Oh, yeah.
Lord Aoshi. Hey, he did not get his ass handed. They took his hands, bro. Lord Aoshi was like
the beast.
What? He was the, like, he was Kyoto, bro. They were just like, no, bro. Like, this man is the last real deal. Like, bro, if we can get him, we can unify all the gangs, all the factions, everybody who think about going crazy.
Nobody can beat him.
Right. Nobody can beat him. They respect him. Washed.
Yeah.
Watch.
They really did kind of gloss over a lot of people.
Kenshin the only one. Kenshin was a 10, bro. Like, Kenshin the character, they nailed him. But they, yeah. I'm talking about, this was Eddie Murphy coming.
They everybody else.
Bro, this was Eddie Murphy coming to America. The opening scene, the royal penis is clean, your highness.
Yeah, you right.
They washed them, massaged them, oiled them up, shined them, pampered them, right. Put them on a pedestal. With grapes and I'm talking about
thinking back, you right.
Grapes and fans by beautiful goddesses, bro. Kenshin got the most luxurious treatment, but everybody around him got washed.
You right.
And that's the only thing I couldn't escape from. Is like, dog, I fuck with Kenshin, but why everybody getting washed? Dude, like,
he's not the end all be all to this whole series. I mean, I get it, he is, but he ain't.
Kaoru didn't do nothing but sympathize with his ex-wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, she typically has a moment of, she unites everybody in town. She gets everybody's shit together when they need to get organized. Mm-hmm. She organized the shit.
Yeah,
and this one,
take out the henchmen.
This one, she just
strong in her own right.
Stay here, hold on the fort. Okay.
But she don't do nothing.
Didn't do nothing.
She's actually pretty good with her little boken.
Yeah, man. Like, overall, Kenshin is a 7 for me. Like, but the music, visually, it's the best. It's one of the best Japanese action, live action movies I've ever seen. As far as what it was, so as far as Western movies, bro, this was one of the best looking movies I've seen in a long time, bro.
I have to agree.
This shit look amazing.
I have to agree.
The costumes are amazing. The casting is amazing.
The pacing of the story is amazing.
Amazing. Right? But
side characters just don't get the love that you come to expect from watching the series.
I ain't mad at an 8, but I gotta go with a 7 just because. I don't know, boy. My boy Sanosuke, like, that Sanosuke shit really bothered me. I was like, nah, dog. He was supposed to win his fight.
Yeah.
He always went. He's literally Joey from Yugi.
Yeah, right.
He's Joey from Yugi, bro. Right. He hangs with the baddest motherfucker and his rivals. And he had to earn Kaiba's respect.
Yeah.
And he eventually earns it. He won the whole first tournament. Yes. We went to the Dark Dimension fight. Joey legally run the tournament. Against everybody else that was supposed to be an A-class duelist. He was a C-class duelist that became that dude. Sanosuke was literally that. It was just like, no, bro, I can go to toe-to-toe.
Trey was supposed to be the super good one out the group, and that nigga sucked.
Yeah.
Wasn't that his name? The dude with the triangle haircut? The brown hair?
Yeah.
That Joker was sorry as hell.
I don't know, man. I like how everybody looked, the costumes. Even his brother, like, I like, I can't remember his name, but the guy he fought in the previous movie that came back to him from the Kyoto arc.
Yeah.
That they glossed over somehow, but whatever. You know, the fast boy, he came back and he was like, I'm going to fight here.
Oh, yeah, that was going to be the next Batosa.
Yeah, but I ain't like, bro, why you came with this rusty ass sword, bro? Like,
I mean, that happened in the show too, but like.
Yeah, you're right. It did. But I mean, he had that speed he needed.
Yeah.
But he was still fast. And you saw Kenshin, they magnified Kenshin's speed when compared to his.
Mm-hmm.
But the way Kenshin was hitting people with that sword, they were like, flying, bro. Like, boom. But it looked like all your bones cracked, bro.
Exactly. If you not broke, you
that
cracked
shit had
up.
To hurt. Yes. I'm looking at this shit like, bro, Kenshin didn't kill these people, but that shit hurt.
Yes. Like, he's breaking bones. Or like, at least dislocating joints when he's hitting you like that, though, because these would be kill strikes, but he's hitting you with the blunt side.
Dog, the way they did the physics,
yeah,
when they hit him and they have the, you know, like when you hit something, the little
bounce back.
The bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see the bounce back and you'll see the they move with perfect such a timing. It's so believable that he really hit them.
Yeah.
It's not like he hit them and we seen the strings retract a second too late. It was like, no. He hit them. Boom. You flew out. Like, they shot this shit. Like, people
turn
need
around, to kick this dude. Like, yeah.
This shit is a masterclass in the next Ken, whatever movie it comes after this that takes from this is gonna be that shit.
Oh yeah. Oh, you know that.
To me, this was what The Matrix was when I saw The Matrix. I got to say it, bro. Visually, it's groundbreaking, bro. It's
really?
Are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, bro. This
y'all don't understand,
because maybe
it's still practical effects.
Practical effects. It wasn't no CGI,
right? And no, there was, and you probably didn't notice it.
Yeah, if you did, you didn't. It wasn't that blatant. Oh yeah, they're using CGI for this scene. It's like
they wiped out the lines. I mean, the ropes and shit to pull people, and they probably enhanced background and shit like that. Make smoke look better, make fire look better. Shit you wouldn't readily notice.
But it looked like they had a nice lot, and they tore that motherfucker up.
That's what you want with a good movie like that. Like, this is supposed to get down and dirty. I wanted to get that way. Like, use it, what y'all got.
What disappointed, I guess I look at it like, bro, y'all should just make a series at this point. Like, y'all tried to cram too much into
like five movies, y'all, like Kenshin movies at this point. Something
like bro, this should have been a part one and a part two. I don't know why they crammed it into 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Because part one and part two, they thought, oh, they don't want another.
No, because it's obvious that they cut shit out. It's obvious that they cut shit out, bro.
See,
it's obvious that
you're bringing up a lot of points that I didn't really notice.
It's because it had to be stuff that they took out, because certain stuff just came into place, and I'm like, the overarching narrative stayed the same, but it definitely looked like this scene. Why was, because
why did he say that, or why did this dude come in here? There was no prior thing.
Like,
for it,
think so. About it. When they showed him going back and what happened with his wife, they showed it like three times, but it was they could have spent the whole hour showing us in vivid detail what happened.
Yeah, but instead of giving us these three flashbacks.
But they gave us the flashbacks, and they wrapped it up. And at the end, Kaoru was telling, old girl, like, yeah, man, I feel where she coming from. Think about it. Like, she wanted to kill the person that killed her husband to be. And another guy came along when she was hurting, and he didn't be like, oh yeah, I killed your husband, now you finna be my woman. It was like, no, she genuinely helped him because she's kind,
right?
And she helped him, and when she learned the truth about him, that's, she had already fallen for him, and was like, she asked the local gangs, hey, do y'all got info who killed my husband? We do. It's this guy with a
cross shaped scar on his,
he didn't have to cross, he just had one.
Oh yeah, the one slash,
one little slash down his cheek, and he has a and he has XYZ, and she's like, he has red hair. Like, no way, there's no fucking way. And she knew it immediately. She knew it. And yeah, not to spoil that, but
don't look like him. But
she knew it. Like, she knew the whole deal. That damn
dude, I actually kind of like now is the dude I'm looking for.
Yeah, and she hated him. But like Kyle said, I thought dramatic wise, I'm like, if it's gonna be that long, y'all could have like Opened me up. Y'all could have opened me up with
that.
You know, true. But you just gave it to me in a flashback, and you made it about how Kaoru feels about it, and you know, catching us up, because we've already seen it. We already know what happens. But It was a snap and it was gone.
I think that's really what it might have been. Because that's how I was looking at it. More so, they just relied on the idea of there are certain elements that you already know because you've seen the anime.
Right.
That's how I saw it, as opposed to, well, this is missing or they shot this and took it out.
Right.
I thought about it from that aspect. Okay. They rely on the fans' ability to retain the information. But I do kind of see your point, though, because it's like, well, yeah, you gave us these three flashbacks and then you gave us Kaoru's perspective. Like, a lot of the time in the movie, you would get her perspective on things, and it's like, okay.
She knew off rope.
They could have shown it, yeah, but yeah. They could have shown us this, but you gave it to us and
they gave it to us like they were trying to save time.
Yeah.
But proceeded to, after giving me that, gave me an hour
for no reason.
Right. Really. After that, I still got an hour and 30 minutes more of a movie, because this is just the first 30 minutes.
Right.
Like, within 30 minutes, you know, Kenshin. Yeah, because Kenshin came clean about, okay, this is why this is happening, this is why that is happening.
Right. And you could have just went on ahead and showed me that.
Yeah. So I don't understand why it was still 2.5 hours when it's like, bro, y'all done told us who did it, why they did it in the first 45 minutes of the movie. Right, so you know where he at. Right. You know why he at. So we just gonna show everybody getting their ass beat for the next hour.
Because you like action, you want action, we gonna get it to you. Thanks, but...
And okay. Kenshin just gonna be that nigga. He just gonna be that badass. And that's ultimately how I feel about it.
Gave us badass Kenshin.
Badass Kenshin, bro. I'm just like, bro, just give me a Kenshin highlight reel, bro. Give me the Kenshin cut.
Right, yeah, let me get that.
Give me the Kenshin cut, bro.
Damn.
Like, cut everything out. I don't give a fuck what these niggas had on. Put that shit in a separate...
Right.
Put that shit in a separate episode, bro. Just give me one episode. This is what Kenshin did. This is what he ate. This is where he went to sleep. This is where he woke up. This is who he fucked up. This is who he went and fucked up after that.
And who he had to go fuck up in the first place.
Right. Just give me that.
Oh, boy.
Give me...
things like getting these Kenshin live actions give me hope that maybe... just maybe we'll get Tsukikage Ran one day.
Dog.
She ain't Kenshin, but she deserves to have a reboot or something.
That'd be dope. I like to see that. Whether it's anime or live action, I feel like a live action would be
so much better.
I was just like, that's a golden opportunity. That's $1 million tip. It's just like, y'all trying to do this whole
Progressive thing.
I mean, you know,
female samurai.
Yeah.
Like a master in her own right and a master of sake.
Female samurai who drinks and, you know, stabs niggas that try to get too touchy at the bar. Like,
the bar, and then, you know, she meets
consequences.
Chinese girl who
dude try to grab on the buddy, get his hand cut off. Like,
hey, don't be chauvinistic, bro.
Like, yeah, I mean, that's everything that you want to say. She drank, she helped people out.
And she's tough as shit.
She's tough.
And she's actually pretty. She just don't see herself that way at first, because she's out here saving the day.
She keeps cool friends.
Yeah.
Like, that's shout out, bro. Like, a lot of people don't know about that. That's a Tsukikage Ran. I like to see that. I feel like that's a missing opportunity.
And Jubei Chan.
Yeah.
Jubei Chan deserves a reboot. Like, J2, when it came out, was all right, but Jubei Chan deserves to come back out. For all y'all that don't know, Jubei Chan is an anime. Would you call it a magical girl anime?
Absolutely.
Okay. It's a magical girl anime, but instead of her getting a sailor suit and happy-go-lucky, super frilly foo-foo powers, she's imbued with the powers of Jubei, the legendary samurai. Because she is a descendant of him in some kind.
Yeah, the heart eye patch kind of sells the magical girl thing. Once the eye patch was a heart, I'm like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Transformation.
Yeah, transformations. Yeah. Okay. I can see that. Yeah, that's magical girl. Yeah. Yeah, you say heart-shaped eye patch. Yeah, it is a heart shape. It's not just a regular eye patch. It's heart-shaped.
No, man, just find an edge. Like, with, I guess that's the whole point. I'm going to circle back and just say find an edge.
Let her be reluctant or something. Like, she's street tough instead of, you know, being the super clumsy schoolgirl this time.
You can just change, and this brings the whole thing full circle. You can just change the archetype of a character and some things, and
the whole essence of it is still there.
It is, but you know, it's source material type of thing. But I'm also a fan of like stuff that was, you know, I feel like light novel, because I didn't see it, I read it, I feel like it's a, you could probably tweak it more and I wouldn't have an issue, because I probably didn't read it, because it's probably not translated, because it's probably not meant for my ass to read, because they don't expect me to
even care that much,
to even care about this story. Because it's like, nah bro, we ain't finna print it and we ain't finna sell it on Amazon, right, where you can get it with your Kindle. That's why I don't have a Kindle. It's like, bro, I can't read manga on Kindles. Amazon, what the fuck? Bezos, you in fucking space on your dick rocket.
And you still ain't gave people manga, bro, on Kindle.
Like, on a Kindle, doing? Even when it was black and white, I couldn't get manga on the Kindle. I might be wrong now. Maybe there are apps.
You read comic books on the Kindle, right? So why can't you read manga?
But and then it's like, well, you can. I say, no, dude. I'm saying, like, it's a whole manga market, and I'm not finna get on this tangent, but I know a lot of people will feel me. It's a whole market of shit that you would like to read that is not officially translated.
Yes.
It is only.
And it's hard to get fan translations.
Right, and a fan might translate it, and you just have to trust that that's really what it's supposed to say. Mm-hmm. The hardest part is that even when they do sell it, unfortunately, no one has come up with the model to pay these people fairly enough, or maybe some international shit.
Right.
But
to make it readily available.
I've been spoiled by live action and anime a la carte streaming services.
Yes.
Marvel was one of the first, if not the first, to say, hey, we got an app and you can scan our comics and read the digital version. You buy a real version, you get the digital version.
Boop, boop it and read it on your phone.
You can get a subscription and keep them there, or read as much as you want within 30 days. I want someone to aggregate these Japanese publishers and put them in a space where I can just pay.
Access them.
Yeah, I could just pay this one fee and read what you have available. Like, divide the pie so these people get paid.
Because there is one manga I'll probably never find again. I heard the door. I'll probably never find it again. I don't know what the title of it was. But all I know is, on one panel of it, it was like this schoolgirl, but she was a zombie. But she wasn't the one trying to eat somebody. She was killing other undead creatures and stuff. Mm. And I don't remember what it was. I read it like once or twice in Barnes and Nobles or Books a Million or something. But I never did buy it. And I tried to remember what the name of the title was. I tried to look it up on Manga Fox and all that stuff. Couldn't ever find it. And to this day, I can't remember what it is. And the premise of it sounded so good.
Bruh, I had an ex, and I used to use her tablet. And I used to read manga on the tablet, you know. And I made the fatal mistake of downloading apps on her tablet. Make an account on the tablet. I had a whole collection of manga that I was reading. And Lord knows, it was, to this day, it's probably somewhere in the cache of that laptop.
Oh, man.
Not laptop, but that tablet. Somewhere in the cache, because it's like that app doesn't exist anymore, because they pirated something.
Yeah.
They got caught. They took the app down. Oh. The servers are down. You can't use it no more. That shit happens.
Well, speaking of taking away comic apps and things like that, Comixology, the DC Comics based comic site, or comic, what would you call it, compendium, is getting ready to get locked away forever and ever. It's gone. I just wanted to throw that in because we were talking about that.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Officially getting shut down.
DC Comics branded out. Damn.
Yep. Comixology is gone, y'all. That was one of the first ones I got before I even got a subscription to Marvel. And then I was like, well, you know, Marvel gives you incentives.
Well, the issue with the print, I'm surprised that. Dang, I'm surprised. Like, wow.
Because at first, DC was going to say they were going strictly digital comics. And now they're closing Comixology. I don't know. Maybe they're going to.
Somebody going to buy it. Amazon going to probably flat out buy it.
Right. And keep them alive. But Maybe they just gonna come up with another DC based.
Bro, if I could, I'd buy it, rebrand it, and I'd throw manga on there. Solve my whole issue that I had 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I'm just giving y'all free game. But I mean, as a consumer, I'm just saying, bro, like,
all we need is a database. We're willing to pay for it.
Yeah. I mean, especially when it comes to manga, it has to be a reason. But shout out to Japan, man, and shout out to all this awesome content. Yes. Today, this pod, we're enjoying Suntory Whiskey Toki.
Yes, we will be momentarily.
Yeah, I tried the Haku, the vodka, and I love the Roku gin, made by the same company, Suntory.
Oh yeah, Japan. Suntory, you guys.
Yeah, shout out
for Suntory. You guys to be like some of the babies in making whiskey around the world. Y'all have got it down to a science.
I love when I watch anime and they have Japanese whiskey bottles that are popular that you end up catching on sale because the guy in this small ass southern town don't know what the fuck he got, like, and he just selling his $100 bottle for $40 because
I'll take that one.
He can't get it out the crate, and I'm like, yeah, bro, let me get that. I've came up on so many of those. Like, most of the time, that's how I come up on them. It'll be on some kind of GQ list of Japanese whiskeys you must try in 2020. And then you see one in the store and be like, oh, how much?
Oh, I'm gonna get that.
Let me get that, bro. I don't think he know what he got.
Right, he got this shit on the bottom shelf because he don't know what it is.
He don't know what it is.
Like, but the time when we went at near the cave and they had the blue label in the liquor store.
I've tried a lot since, but I put people on to Suntory Toki because I stand by it. I guarantee it.
I guarantee it. Man. So, before we go further than that, I have to say, the main reason why we did not like Iron Fist, and it's because they took the opposite approach with their action.
Yeah.
Main director.
Right.
And the second team director were not on the same page. Yes. When they would...
You mean for a different seat? Keep going.
When they would be doing... Grab some ice, too. When they were doing previs and things like that for the fight scenes, you had the fight coordinator and all that shit there. Episode director wasn't there. First team director was not there. He doesn't know what the fuck's going on with the fight scene. All he knows is what's based on the treatment. You're supposed to go in. This is what's supposed to happen in the fight. Get this shot. He don't know what the fight looks like. He hadn't seen none of previous. None of that. He doesn't know what the stunt team has come up with for the fight. He doesn't know what the actors are supposed to be doing. None of the angles. All he knows is what the notes say. What shots he's supposed to be getting for what scene.
The fuck?
That's how they shot Iron Fist. Yeah, they got a different fight coordinator for the second season. He created better fight scenes, but the director was still the same. And this motherfucker was still not on set or anywhere on the scene when they were doing the fight scenes and pre-working them.
Bro, that's what happened. See, that's what happens when you get these people who don't have a network of people that create that kind of content and they don't call the right people or don't have the network for the right people to want to even work for them, because there's too much talent out there. Like, I feel like if I'm not a fan, put it like this. If, let's say I got in charge of a film, I never seen Warrior.
But you know who Bruce Lee is.
I know who Bruce Lee is, but let's just say I get in charge of this movie, because it happens all the time. Marvel mastered this shit. We're gonna take you to make a movie, but I don't make those type of movies.
It's alright, we trust you though.
It's
great movies. We just want your vision on this.
Yeah. And it's worked out thus far. Yeah, for something like Iron Fist, I gotta believe, like, you didn't call the right people, because I am to this day just so disappointed.
The right people, but it was compartmentalized. It seems like you had the right people, but they weren't gelling together.
Yeah, they didn't have no plan.
Part of the machine. Yeah, they were just part of the machine to make the show, but they weren't together. Because how can you have a first team director that's supposed to be there to shoot all your fucking dailies, all your everything, all your main shots, and he doesn't know what the stunt team put together for the fight scene you got to shoot that day? So you're like, all right, I got to get this wide. I got to get this left cut, right cut, you know, whatever kind of angle, this over the top, this over the shoulder, whatever. But you don't know what the fight team came up with.
That's because your focus ain't the fight team. And you at that point, you just got to trust somebody. And I feel like you betrayed that trust when it's like, nah, bro, you got to come and you got to have a pack.
Came up with.
It's not angles. It's funny because it circles back to an anime we spoke on where someone's met with the challenge of you have to do this or this will happen. I don't know how to do it. Well, find something you love and use that as the catalyst or the what you call it, the muse to give your best, to bring forth the best. And I feel like as an artist, that always applies. If you ain't passionate about action scenes or don't care, then you won't care. You'll just want to get it done. And when, like I said, Iron Fist, I feel like people may have felt that was on a sinking ship and they didn't even care. But at the same time, I don't think people had imagination because everything I seen on Into the Badlands, I seen on Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yeah.
And
all this floaty wire work, but they just made it more cinematic.
Yeah, it's just like, bro, it ain't hard. The Wachowskis did this shit like years ago, 20 years ago almost, bro. Like, how are y'all still fucking up fight scenes?
Because you've got a dude who his main thing is everybody's got to look right in the frame. It's got to look like this. I need to make sure I get the close up, the wide, the this and the that, and make sure the shot is composed in this way. But you're not worried about the action in between, the motion.
Nah, man.
The people that's worried about the motion aren't communicating with the people that's supposed to shoot the motion. And that's where the disconnect is. Like, in season 2 of Iron Fist, you have a sword fight, and both of the people in the sword fight wearing black at night in the rain.
Somebody didn't think about that.
Right, you can't see shit. No, they thought about it. It's like, nah, that shit's gonna look cool as fuck. Yeah, it looks cool, but the way you shot the fight, we can't see nothing. You shooting it like every other fight scene that you've shot in Iron Fist, we can't see anything.
Nah, bro, I tell you what that is. That's a conspiracy. Because everybody that year did that on at least one episode of something that was popular and popping. Remember in 2019? Or maybe it was 2018. I think it was 2019 when everyone...
In the rain.
No, everyone had that one episode that was dark as fuck. Game of Thrones did it.
Oh, yeah.
Iron Fist did it.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, it was I'm trying to think of a couple of other shows that just had episodes that was just like, bro, it was just way too dark to see anything in this episode. Like, what the hell is going on?
You know what I think that was? I think behind the scenes, secretly, that was like probably
inside joke.
No, tech companies or whatever, like TV manufacturers or whatever, like, hey, we got the deepest HD contrast of everybody. You know how we know? You can see shit on our episode. So everybody this season had to do a dark ass episode. Mm-hmm. And then they just took a balance or a scale of who could see what on these dark ass episodes.
No, it's just, yeah, gotta do white balance, dark balance, color balance. It's like, right, we need like, to calibrate. We need to calibrate some shit.
Yeah, let's check these shits on the HD TVs. Like, who's got the realest HD?
Because if you didn't see that Game of Thrones episode within 48 hours of Sunday,
They rescaled it.
Mm-hmm. It was lighter. If you go back and see it now, you won't see it how all of us saw it the first time we
dark
saw it.
Dark as fuck. Silhouettes of people, fuzz of people. Like, what?
Like, turn the brightness up, bro. I can't see shit. Right.
Like, turn the brightness up.
Turn the brightness up.
That's just going to make it look ashy dark.
But rest in peace, Iron Fist. Disney got the rights back not too long ago. That was the first show. Luke Cage followed suit. I think sometime next year we'll get Daredevil back. And
they keep making this mention, I hope, man.
But yeah, it's coming soon. Shout out to Netflix. I'm gonna get back to Netflix later, because I got a list of I got a list of Netflix titles I'm gonna get to.
Okay.